Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Getting flashbacks the last couple of days with the focus in the news on the Year 12 students. They are sitting their HSC exams at the moment, so hello to any kids listening right now who are about to head in to sit another round of exams today.
Yeah, surely it couldn't be any worse than the English one.
Well, that's what they started on yesterday.
Yeah, I would have been the same. It was like, get English out of the way early,
yeah,
and then it's all smooth sailing from there.
I mean, I remember being nervous when I was sitting my final exams at high school, but, you know, based on the last couple of years, it would be incredibly nerve-wracking for these seniors kids at the high schools, you know, having to deal with a pandemic and doing a lot of online learning and stuff like that. So, yeah, they headed in. They all had to do their screening and wear their masks, hand sanitizer. All the staff and teachers had to be double vaxxed to help them sit the first round of their HSC exams, which I think goes until early December. So it's not over yet, but yeah. Some of the kids they spoke to on the news last night, it was just funny to see all their different reactions, like how they dealt with it. Like this one kid, I don't know if he thought he was able to go out onto the playground once he'd finished the test. Like
they promised him.
This was him finishing up his first round of HSC tests.
I've finished with some time to spare, so that's always good.
Good for what? Where are you going to go?
Activities?
I don't think they give you extra points for finishing quicker.
That's the worst feeling, though. If you finish with time to spare, it's like, am I that smart and above everyone else, or did I just not
Understand this at all? Apparently, the first task was, like the English portion, as we mentioned, was about resilience or like a time about resilience. So at least they were able to draw on their own experiences to help with that. And it would have been hard as well to sit there and do a test with a face mask on. Do you know what I mean? They're not exactly the most comfortable things to wear. Some kids were able to overcome this obstacle.
The first 5 minutes, like when you were trying to read, it took you a bit to get in. But once you were in the zone of writing, it didn't really matter.
No, maybe for you, but for this girl, she struggled a bit.
It was horrible. I couldn't even wear my glasses because they kept fogging up.
Buck them up.
I suffered from foggy brain when I was doing the HSC.
Yeah, me too.
The only solace that I took in doing the HSC is beforehand the teacher kept looking at me directly and saying, you know you get so many points just for spelling your name right. And I'm like, yes.
I was going to say, did the teacher help you out with that? That's H.
And that was it.
You. I don't know if it's just me who thinks this, but I'm like, a face mask gives you the perfect opportunity to cheat.
Of course.
Because you could write the answers on the inside of your face mask.
Oh, just keep adjusting it.
Just adjusting my mask and here's the answer to this question. You know what I mean? If you knew what the questions are, but that's a problem with the HSC.
Yeah.
So it was good to see all the different kids, you know, how they coped with the first day of their HSC tests. Some kids are already looking forward to the future and being very responsible.
I reckon we've all got the drive to just push through, get it done. It's only a few weeks and then we get to graduate and go on with our lives.
And then there's these girls.
Party a lot first. Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
How do you go when you visit the places you grew up as a kid? Do you feel like it's changed a lot over the years? Like you go there and you're like, I barely recognise this place.
Yeah, I went to the Gold Coast back in June and it had been a couple of years since I'd sort of actually stayed there, and Surfers Paradise was completely different from when I, you know, first went there as a kid, you know, just unrecognisable.
And you get a bit critical when you go back to these places. You're like, that rock shouldn't be there. That wasn't there when I was going. What have they done to this place? They've ruined it.
I want to speak to the mayor.
Yeah, and a lot has changed since the last time I was in the Gong sort of region, the Illawarra, like because of the lockdowns and everything. I haven't been there in probably a year and a bit, but a lot has happened in that time.
Yeah, right.
You know, sort of stuff where it's roadworks that never changes for years and years, and all of a sudden you go for a trip somewhere and you're like, everything's completely changed and you look like
an idiot. They actually finished the roadworks.
They actually finished the roadworks. I'm talking about like the Albion Park Rail Bypass, which has been on the minutes for like 1,020 years.
I think it was like heritage listed roadworks, wasn't it? They weren't allowed to complete them.
And I found myself struggling a little bit. I was dropping off the missus to a couple of things, their hair appointment and things like that. And I'm like, all right, I'll just drive to the shopping centre, Shell Harbour Square, you know, over in that direction. All good. All of a sudden, I'm about to come out in the traffic. I'm like, oh, I'll be here forever if I've got to turn right because there's that much traffic. It's the school drop-off time of the day. I'll turn left and then I'll just turn around whenever I can. Go on to the left, all right, follow on this road. go into a spot I know I'd be able to turn around. It's like, no right turn now. I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Keep going. Keep going. Ended up all the way at like Albion Park, had to go to this big roundabout, turn around, come back, and I'm like, all right, I know if I go up this road, if I branch off on this bit of road, I can then jump to this stretch of road that goes for about a kilometre, then I can get to a big roundabout, turn back the direction
so
I need to.
So you're kind of doing a rat run to try and get back on
I'm
track.
Like, should be able to do that. Go up that road. You can't do that thing at the roundabout anymore. It's now goes straight onto the highway.
Oh
so all of a
God.
Sudden I'm driving the opposite direction to where I just came from in Dapto. I'm on the highway. I'm like, I've got to drive all the way back to five minutes to back in the other direction to then get just, off, to then jump back on again.
That much travel getting around in the car, I would have just pulled over, asked one of the school kids on the way to school, can I borrow your Razor scooter?
Like
you
that.
Seem to be making better time than I am in the car.
Then I finally got on the right track, got back to the big roundabout near Shell Harbour where I'm supposed to go, all right, no worries. All of a sudden, there's all traffic lights there now.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I felt like an old lady just like sitting against the steering wheel going, I have no idea where I'm going. I'm like, hopefully I'm in the right lane. Maybe you can only turn this way in that lane and that lane. It was an absolute disaster.
You know, like the old dude when he comes out of Shawshank Prison, like, everything's changed.
Exactly
I don't
right.
know what this place is anymore.
Yeah, speaking of that guy, what's his name? Brooks Hanlon. This guy, I felt like he...
I can't believe how fast things move on the outside. The world went and got itself in a big damn hurry.
Exactly like that.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.
Pretty grey out there today. I might get some showers, but hopefully we don't get any hail. That's what I always worry about.
Yeah, it's annoying, the old hail, isn't it?
Especially for me, and you know what it's like being colorblind. Anytime people always talk about the green tinge and the clouds, and every time there's like some weather, I look up at the sky and I'm always asking my wife, is it green? Is that hail? Should we expect hail? Up in Queensland, though, north of Mackay, at a little town called Yalbaroo, they got bombarded 3 weeks ago, Hutsy. Giant hail, actually classified as gargantuan. That is the scientific term. It's the biggest hail you can get.
Let me guess. Hailstones as big as cricket balls. Are we hearing that?
Beyond that.
Beyond that. Because when I see hailstones as big as cricket balls, I get PTSD thinking I'm on the cricket field. No one's going to yell at catch and I'm just going to drop it.
You're going to drop it? No, these things were bigger than mangoes. They reckon they were upwards of 16 centimetres.
Whoa.
World record setting. So one lady up there at Yalbaroo by the name of Barbara Farron-Price, she was there in the middle of this hailstorm and she said it was like nothing she'd ever experienced before.
It's just like World War III coming, you know, it was just horrifying. To me, it was like a meteorite was coming through.
Well, which is it, Barb? Is it World War III or is it meteorites? Make up your mind what
Whoa,
it is.
Oh, yeah.
But while this was happening, Barbara went, well, Jesus, look at the size of this hail. I've never seen anything like it. I need to preserve it. So this is what she did.
I got such a bruise on my arm and I thought if that hits me in the head, I'm going to be knocked out. So I just ran inside.
She ran out to start collecting giant chunks of hail. Like the sky was raining priceless Fabergé eggs. They're not collectibles, Barb. Like
Mother Nature's playing brandings again, eh?
Either that or she was just like, oh, I've got a Barbie on the servo. This will save me popping down the servo to get some ice. I'll just collect the hail from the backyard. But Barb did the smart thing. You know, she must have been a scientist in her previous life because she went, I've got to preserve these hailstones. So popped them in the freezer.
Hailstones this large attract interest from the scientific community. Luckily, Barbara kept hers in the freezer.
This is actually quite a lot smaller compared to when we actually got it, because it's melted.
Yeah.
Oh, she had the freezer on holiday mode again, did she?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, the ice does attract, you know, the sky raining ice attracts a lot of attention from the scientific community and certain members of the Nowra community.
Yeah.
But once they figured out what it was. But so, yeah, there was another guy as well by the name of Phil. He lives down the road from Barb. He managed to collect some giant chunks of hail as well, although he did save some for himself.
Just down the road, an even bigger chunk found after the storm by Phil Hamblin. But he's keeping the smaller ones.
I was going to pour a whiskey over to one of the small ones.
He's like, bugger science. I need something to make a cold drink. So anyway, Tony Auden is the guy you heard at the start of some of those bits. He's like their chief meteorologist at Channel 7 up in Queensland.
Oh, he's a top dog.
Yeah, he's a full weather nerd. And he's like, I've got to like preserve this hail. So he visited Barb, he visited Phil.
Jeez.
He got their still frozen chunks of hail. He's put it into an esky, like to transport it. Like he went to great lengths because The researchers are down in Melbourne, but of course all this hail is up in Mackay. So this is the lengths that Tony went to transport this ice.
Here we have dry ice. It's at minus 80 degrees. Best to get them in the esky and properly sealed and back to the experts. From Proserpine, flying to Brisbane. Racing giant hailstones to UQ scientists before they melted.
Hang on, that's like Proserpine. That's like the Great Barrier Reef. It gets fairly warm up in that area, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. You managed to get it there on time, but you're like, you went to that much trouble to transport ice interstate. It's like, yeah, we're saving ice. At the same time, we're melting polar ice caps with the amount of carbon emissions, Tony.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.